Hi there, Duke fans. Welcome to episode 502 of the Duke Basketball Report podcast. We are here on a Friday morning, bright and early, to chat about a very enjoyable evening last night for the Duke Blue Devils as they take down Oral Roberts in the beginning of the NCAA tournament. Duke moves on. We're here to talk about it. We're also going to preview Duke's next matchup coming tomorrow, Saturday, against Tennessee. First, we have introductions because I'm sure by now none of you have any idea who's talking to you. I am Jason Evans. I'm joined, as I always am, by Donald Wine and Sam Klein. Donald, how are you feeling this bright and early morning?
Well, first off, happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you that celebrate, but it is Friday, March 17th as we record. But yeah, I felt great because that win was easy. It felt great to watch a game. You know, we've had a few of these lately, but you know, over the course of the season, it's always great to have those games where you can relax and just watch it happen.
I know. It was nice. It was very nice. A relaxing evening. I was hanging out with one of my buddies. He brought over a pizza full of lots of different meats. I love meat on my pizza. And we were just chilling and enjoying that game. And we both kept on sitting there saying, I thought this was going to be harder. I really thought this was going to be harder. Mm-hmm. Sam Klein is also here with us. It's St. Patrick's Day. I should tell the folks out there, Donald is wearing green. I'm wearing white. Sam is wearing black, it appears.
I have my hoodie on that I think has some green and some blue in it, but I'm a ginger beard, so I don't think I'm ever.
Are you exempt? Prepared.
Yeah, am I exempt from this nonsense? I'm not Irish, and I have a red beard, so like I feel like I'm always good.
Okay. Rather than talk about the color of our beards, let's get to the basketball game.
Jason, you're just jealous.
Jealous that you have a beard? I can grow a beard. I've grown a beard in the past. My wife hates it. That's the problem.
Ah, sure. Okay.
Happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life. Exactly.
Did I get to say earlier that I fell into like a stupor in the middle of this game about the same time I think actually the Duke did?
What do you mean by that? You fell into a stupor? Like you were like, just sort of zoning out?
I was watching this game. I was zoning out. And I think the Blue Devils zoned out about the same time because that's when Oral Roberts went on their one offensive run to cut the lead to 14.
Yeah, I know. By the way, it was kind of funny. The lead was like out. It was around 30 or something like that. And they got it down to 14. And my buddy Jeff that I was watching the game with was like, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. And I went, I'm about 4 or 6 points from getting nervous. And Duke promptly pushed it back out again. It didn't matter. But anyway, all right. So again, let's get to the recap. As I said, the Blue Devils win this game. 74-51 was the final score. 23-point margin didn't really reflect what the game was actually like. Duke was in absolute complete control throughout this contest. I noted that, and I'm sure everyone noted this, Oral Roberts didn't score for the first 8 minutes of the game. We're talking about a great offensive team, one of the best offensive teams in all of college basketball. They didn't score for the first 8 minutes. You knew it was going to be a long night for them at that point. Right, gentlemen? I guess we have to begin with the headlines. And Donald, I know you had a glance at all the wonderful stuff the listeners sent to us. Give us the best headlines from the listeners.
Yeah, so here are some of my favorites. Andrew Bloom wrote in. His headline was, "Only thing upset is stomachs as Duke passes their orals," which I thought was cool for all you in the med school who are doctors would appreciate that. Here's something for us lawyers out there from Chris Immershein. Summary judgment. Duke defense defeats oral arguments. Wow, that was a little bit of a tongue twister there, but I got the picture, Chris. That was awesome. And then we also had Courtney Kruger who wrote in, "Oral Roberts couldn't pull off a miracle and never had a prayer." And finally, one that I really liked was Dawson Klein. I believe Dawson, this might be the first time Dawson has emailed us. Thank you for emailing us. Duke wishes Oral Roberts a late Merry Asmus as they gift them a defensive nightmare and blowout victory.
That's a really, the Merry Asmus was a really good line. I like that one.
And can we say for a minute, like, yo, apologies to Max Asmus because I pronounced his name completely wrong. I pronounced it phonetically the entire episode that we previewed him. I had no idea that it was Ace. Like the B is actually German and they kind of anglicized it and just kept the pronunciation, which you wouldn't have known that unless you had, you know, done some reading during the second half, like I did when we were up 25 points.
It's so nice of you to have the proper pronunciation.
Donald, you found the background material that I didn't. Normally the way this works, when Duke is playing a team with a player whose name I am not confident about, I will go watch some highlight clips. And yep, I watched YouTube's a couple right like when we were starting the show, I guess yesterday or 2 days, whenever we previewed this, which was only a couple days ago. And I heard it a couple times and I was like the videos must be wrong. Like this can't be right. So I was kind of mumbling through it when we were doing the preview, because I do think we owe any players that we're talking about, we owe them at least the courtesy of saying their names right. And we totally collectively butchered this one. So and by the way, he has been their best player this year. And before we get to everything else, like everything we said about Max Asmus holds from the season. Like he had an Absolutely. Outstanding year. And all we're going to say now is what a great job Duke did bottling him up. I had one more headline before we get to the meat of this, which is the one from Tina L. said Duke enjoys a buffet of golden wings to advance because Oral Roberts are the Golden Eagles.
And I had one headline I like. Chuck Westmoreland said, sit down, analytics dorks. Duke's got this, because as an analytics dork, I don't mind reading Chuck's headline. This was a game where all the analytics folks were like, yeah, there's some things that Oral Roberts does that are going to give Duke problems.
One more note about the headlines. Yeah. We got a few in email and I got a couple actually via text message as well that were the dirty kind, because Duke was playing Oral Roberts.
Yeah,
I ain't reading any of those, but no. I appreciate all of you, and I thought of all the same ones. So we're on the same wavelength. Keep them coming. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a couple of those that I deleted immediately. I'm like,
this Wilco is just sent us a good one, like just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a work computer. I can't have this stuff on my work computer. All right, gentlemen, let's get to the game and let's get to the good. I think that this portion of the podcast will take a little while. The defense. I'm requiring you guys to start with the defense. Hey, I know Dariq Whitehead and especially Jeremy Roach had great games on offense. We'll get to that. The story of this game was Duke's defense, no question about it. Donald, get me started.
Jason, I think the last headline that you mentioned about analytics, it makes sense when we segue into the fact that our defense completely decimated one of the best offensive teams in the country, right? Before, we talked about how Oral Roberts was like number two in effective field goal percentage amongst all D1 schools. They were like number two in three-point shooting, number one in two-point shooting. I don't know what happened, but our Duke defense said, nah, you're not getting that tonight. Jason, check these stats out. I mean, for a team that shoots about 56% from the floor, they shot 30% last night from the floor, 25% from three. They didn't even make their free throws. They only shot 62.5% from free throw. It was 40-23 at the half. As you mentioned, 8 minutes for Oral Roberts to score. Asmus, who, you know, was trying to do things, he couldn't get a lot of stuff happening in the game. I think he only made a couple of threes. Connor Vanover, we talked a lot about him in the preview about how he can shoot the three. He only made one. He had 6 points. And it felt like anytime he went up for a rebound, it came down in the hands of Derek Lively or Kyle Filipowski or someone like that. It was amazing how they zeroed in on those two guys and said, okay, these two guys are not going to beat us tonight. Someone else better step up. And it didn't matter, because Oral Roberts just did not have anyone who could match the intensity that we had on defense. I thought Mark Mitchell did a great job. You know, spoiler alert, one of my favorite plays is a defensive play where everyone kind of like lured someone. I think it was Max Asmus, lured him into the paint and said, oh, there's going to be easy lane to the basket. And all of a sudden Derek Lively appeared out of nowhere, like a cheetah, just kind of launching out of the woods and launching out of the grass, and just said, no, this ball's going 35 feet the other way. Like, those type of defensive plays led to a lot of things we did on offense too. And I know we'll talk about the offense, but the fact we forced 7 steals, you know, the fact that we out rebounded them 46-32, the paint, you know, they could not get anything done in the paint. They couldn't shoot well all night. And it was a testament to the fact that our defense said from opening tip, this is going to be a difficult game for you, Oral Roberts, not for us.
You know, the job we did, and just playing off what you said, the job we did on Max Asmus was an absolute thing of beauty. He scored 12 points. That's 10 under his average. This guy usually averages 22 points per game. just 4 of 15 shooting. Tyrese Proctor was in his shorts all night. And when he wasn't, I'm sure you guys noticed that Mark Mitchell got switched on to him. And it wasn't just like they would set screens and Mitchell would suddenly find himself on A-Smith. Duke had Mitchell guarding A-Smith from the beginning of the possession, which I thought was a really interesting development. And he used his length, he used his athleticism so well to make A-Smith's night into just a nightmare. One of the things I discussed in the preview was how great Oral Roberts is at not turning the ball over. We talked about it endlessly. The second best team in all of college basketball at not committing turnovers. And part of that is the ball's always in Max A-Smith's hands and he doesn't commit turnovers. Well, he had 5 turnovers in this game. I just can't overstate what a big deal that is. And on the game, Oral Roberts had 9 turnovers and Duke only had 8. I don't know. I know Vegas doesn't do odds on something as exotic as total turnovers, but for Duke to beat Oral Roberts in turnovers was something that no one could see coming. And if you want to tell me, hey, Duke's going to win this game by close to 30 points, you know, I'm probably going to say maybe that's because of those turnovers. Sam, I know you want to talk about the bigs. Man, what a job did Derek Lively had the best game you'll ever see out of a player who only scored 4 points, didn't he?
Yeah, this was it felt like a Draymond Green special, right? Where he scores 4 points, but Lively also pulls down 12 rebounds and blocks 6 shots. And there's
it was similar to the UNC game in Cameron.
Exactly.
Like that stat line.
Yeah, and by the way, 6 blocks. How many shots did he change?
Well, so what I wanted to bring up, Jason, is your favorite topic here, which is that this game was going to be a contrast of styles, right? Oral Roberts is very small other than Vanover, and we talked in the preview about how Vanover is not crashing inside on offense. Everything is coming from outside. A-Smith can drive, but a lot of the points are being scored from the perimeter or at least from the mid-range. And last night, because they weren't able to get the shots and because there was no safety valve for them to come inside, there was just nothing that Oral Roberts can do. And that started, I think, like as great a job as Proctor and Mitchell did on A-Smith, I think all of that started with Derek Lively because he took up so much space in the post, not just hanging out there and sort of waiting for guys to come, but even when his man was on the perimeter, whether that was Vanover or somebody else, he was always keeping an eye on the lane. So when A-Smith came into the lane, if Isaac McBride came into the lane, Lively was there to block the shot. The most aggressive one, he had one on A-Smith where he basically appeared, I think to A-Smith, he appeared out of nowhere. But if you're watching on TV, you could see that Lively was like, I'm getting this block. Like there is no chance that this ball is touching any rim or backboard because I am going to obliterate this ball like into the atmosphere. So that the blocks were one thing from Lively and the way that he was just keeping everybody away from the paint, no easy baskets. The other guy who I thought had a great night on defense was Kyle Filipowski. And maybe we'll talk in the bad about how Flip only scored 6 points last night, but what an impressive defensive performance from Flip. You mentioned that A-Smith turned the ball over 5 times. A couple of those were Kyle Filipowski steals. And It is pretty hard for a man who is 7 feet tall, who's a freshman, who's still sort of finding his way around to be, you know, picking the pocket of a 6-foot lightning quick senior. That was really impressive from Filipowski. His best, like I can't imagine a better game from him in which he barely scores. Not that Duke even needed him last night, but he was able to stay on the floor with Lively for long stretches. The other thing that I appreciated or was impressed by with Duke in this one is that they were able to keep 2 big men on the floor, whether it was Lively and Flip or Ryan Young, who got only a couple minutes, but he was really effective on offense. Duke didn't back down from Oral Roberts having a lot of fast perimeter guys that you would think would limit Duke's ability to play big. Duke really imposed their size, their speed, and their style in this game.
Yeah, so Sam, I go back to, and I forget when we were talking about it, but a couple games ago, you were discussing Derek Lively and the way teams sort of see him in a general vicinity of the floor and go, okay, we need to avoid that. Like, let's not go anywhere close to him.
It feels like his space is getting bigger.
Yeah, well, that's what I literally was going to say. in that game last night, first of all, he's so, I mean, Lively's so wide that you're like, you know, oh my gosh, he, you know, he could, and you know, the length of his stride, his quickness, his wingspan allows him to cover a ton of territory, and his ability to recover from, you know, whether it's a screen or some other situation to then get to somewhere else on the floor. You know, again, it's like a third or half of the court. He's got it all by himself to some extent, and teams just don't know what to make of that. And you saw Oral Roberts, like, there were sometimes they were just looking around and saying, okay, well, he's over there. We can't operate over there, but there are three guys over here where, you know, and they just didn't know where to go for a team that is a tremendously efficient offensive team. They look flummoxed constantly by Duke. Donald, give me some. I know you looked up some of the defensive stats. There's some really impressive stuff, isn't there?
Well, credit to, you know, Duke men's basketball. They put out some stats after each game, and these actually came from their you know, recap. So check this out, Jason. They held Oral Roberts to 51 points. That was their second fewest total points scored all year. That's 33 points below their season scoring average. They averaged 84 points a game, and they only got 51. Their fewest points allowed by Duke in the NCAA tournament since 2015 when they beat San Diego State, and they only allowed 49 points to San Diego State at that point. So this is incredible defensive stance, which is Donald, incredible in the tournament.
But before you do other stats, can we just repeat that to people? A team that averages 84 points per game just scored 51 on Duke.
Barely. I can't. Right. They had to, you know, garbage time is where they got to 51.
Well, Duke was on pace to hold Oral Roberts in the 40s for a good part of this game. Oral Roberts went on that run.
They had a little 11-0 run that they did over the course of like maybe 2 minutes. They got really hot for like 2 minutes. But other than that, I don't even think they were scoring a point a minute other than that. It was crazy.
Well, Jason, it's funny you mentioned that because the last stat I have, they averaged just 0.8 points per possession. 0.8. That's not good, because when the ball goes in the net, you usually get at least 2 points, right? So on each possession, they were averaging less than a free throw. And that's just a testament to how great Duke's defense was. And honestly, you know, like we said, there was that one scoring run that Oral Roberts went on in the second half to bring it to within 14. And the fact that they could go on a 12-0 run to bring it down to 14 points just shows you how clinical Duke was on defense and how easy this game was for them because of that.
So one last thing about the D that I want to get to before we move on to the offense, and it'll be very, very quick. We already mentioned, obviously, that Oral Roberts didn't score the first 8 minutes of the first half, similar to the Pitt game in the ACC tournament, where Duke had a nice lead at halftime, but it wasn't like the game was already over. Duke then comes out at the start of the second half and completely strangles the opposition and stretches that lead out so that you realize, okay, this game actually is over. And we did the same thing to Oral Roberts. They didn't score the first 5 minutes of the second half. No points the first 8 minutes of the first half. No points the first 5 minutes of the second half. Duke comes out of the locker room and just says, I'm strangling you. You're not going to get anything done. You're going to have a frustrating half. And you know, that is a great way to sap the energy from the opposition. It's a sign of coaching as well. And so huge hat tip to the coaching staff.
In both the in-game interviews and in the post-game interview, Oral Roberts' head coach, Paul Mills, couldn't say enough about how devastating it was playing against Duke's defense. And he gave John Shire a lot of credit. He gave Derek Lively a lot of credit for that, for just being Derek Lively, but also a lot of credit to John Shire to say, you know, Duke had this game scouted so well. We said in the preview that, you know, there are a lot of things that Oral Roberts does that Duke hasn't really seen this year. And I didn't feel like they were able to execute any of the stuff that we talked about. I think that comes, and I've been praising him a lot recently, but I think a lot of that comes back to John Shire and the preparation that this team had. There was nothing that they seemed ill prepared for in this game. And it's not just that they held Oral Roberts to, you know, to 0 points in the first 8 minutes. That was happening throughout the night.
All right, gentlemen, as great as Duke was on defense, we do need to talk about a couple guys on offense, and it all begins with Jeremy Roach. I don't know. You know, you can either call him March Roach or Tournament Roach. I think that both titles are sort of appropriate, but that dude is a ridiculous stud. He just put the offense on his back in this game, and the rest of us came along for the ride, and it was a quite enjoyable ride. He had no fear, none, at diving to the hoop, even with an elite 7-5 shot blocker. Again, to remind folks, Connor Vanover, according to the advanced metrics, is the fourth best shot blocker in all of college basketball. And Jeremy Roach was like, yeah, I don't care. He put up a career high. Roach put up a career high 23 points, even though his outside shot really wasn't there. I mean, if you want to criticize Jeremy Roach at all, he was just 1 of 5 from three, but he was 8 of 12 on his 2-point field goals. And we just repeatedly put the ball in his hands and let him go to work. It was super fun to watch. Sam, I'll let you talk about it first, and then Donald, I'm sure you want to chime in.
We know that Jeremy Roach has so many moves around the basket, and he needed to use all of them last night against Vanover. You said, Jason, Vanover's waiting for you to come into the lane so that he can swat that ball out. And Jeremy Roach almost felt like he was like tempting Vanover. Like he was like, all right, how am I on this possession going to make them all crash into one place so that I can do a little scoop and score under the basket? Like he was using every angle, and it's they I think the broadcasters were talking about this, but it's great to see the way that Roach has embraced being the off ball guy on this team, that Proctor is able to initiate the offense, which allows Roach to, you know, attack from the corners, to attack from from the side of the court, and he's been so good at it. He also notches 3 assists and just 1 turnover last night. Jason, you already highlighted the turnover margin that Duke usually loses, and Duke only commits 8 turnovers. So between Roach committing only one, I think Proctor had no turnovers last night. Duke's guards were just so good at keeping Oral Roberts from doing anything on defense, and what an awesome performance from Roach to allow basically everybody else to be focused on the defensive end.
So it wasn't just the fact that he was figuring out all ways to lay the ball in off the glass, but he also has that 10 to 12 foot shot that he was also doing. He drive into the lane, especially when he established the fact that, yo, I can go to the rim whenever I want to, guys. Like you're not going to stop me. So what they would do is they would kind of back off and kind of prepare for him to do some, you know, freaky stuff underneath the lane. But he would just stop, pop a 10-footer, pop a 12-footer. There was also a couple times where he'd go to the basket. He'd look like he'd go hard. And at the last minute, a couple of those assists, Sam, that you were talking about, he would just kind of dish it off to a Mark Mitchell for a dunk or for Derek Lively for 2 of his 4 points, where he would just go up and just yam it. And there was, I think, one of them, I forgot which one it was, one of them did it over Vanover, right? So like Vanover was going for the block, initial block off of Roach. Roach lays it off for one of those guys, and all of a sudden Vanover, all he can do is turn around and watch one of those guys go in the air and dunk it right in front of him. So the idea that Jeremy Roach was fearless is the correct one, because he was able to go in there, and it wasn't even like it was fearless. It was more the fact that he just understood the assignment, and he let Oral Roberts know, guys, you're not stopping me tonight. Whatever I do is going to be on my accord. And even if you think you can stop me, I got my teammates who are going to back me up, and they're going to finish it for me. So he did a great job at commanding the offense, scoring points at will, but also, again, those few times where he was able to find someone for an open jump shot or for a dunk, it kept the offense flowing. And again, that defense moved everything to offense, but Jeremy Roach on offense was said, this is my ball, this is my court.
Hey, gentlemen, as we continue to go through the good, I do want to mention Dariq Whitehead, who, you know, he just looks like an NBA player. it's abundantly clear. Like, he moves like a gazelle around the court. Like, those three-pointers that he shoots, his elevation on them. Like I said, I was watching with my buddy, and he was just like, everything about this guy looks so fluid and athletic and smooth. I mean, you know, I keep waiting. We're never going to see it. I keep waiting for him to be more aggressive with the ball in his hands and take it to the hole. I think it's never going to happen at Duke, which is, you know, I'm so sad about that. But his 3-point jumper is just super special. And I also wanted to note about him, I thought he and Mark Mitchell had a couple rebounds in traffic where they went up and you were just like, you know, they were like, I'm getting this ball. And you were like, That guy is, we've got some just ridiculous athletes on this team, and it's fun to watch them play, you know, to have them show off their athleticism. But Dariq Whitehead, if we get offensive performances like that from him, it's really hard to figure out how teams are going to beat this Duke team.
Do you remember Jason Tatum? Like,
I do.
Like, yes, this I do.
Is,
yes.
Dariq Whitehead is doing the, do you remember a guy who's like in contention to be the MVP in the NBA this year?
Right.
This is like what it looked like when Tatum was good. Right. And
yeah,
a lot of the same moves. And man, I wish that, like, acknowledging that he is almost certainly gone at the end of this season, I wish we had gotten the full healthy season of Whitehead, because we would be enjoying it so much more than we are just getting to get these like glimpses at the end of the season.
Jason, you mentioned that you were kind of sad that we were not going to get the full like Whitehead drive to the lane and yam on someone experience. I'm not, because, you know, look, we all have seen Steph Curry and how he plays. We've seen Klay Thompson and how he plays. You can make an ugly face off of someone just drilling a three, just the same as you can when someone yams in someone's face. And let me tell you, all of Dariq Whitehead's threes last night had me with the ugly face, because every single time it looked like he looked someone dead in their eyes and said, "Hey, see this ball? I'm shooting this in your face," and it's going in. And they were all water all night. Like, this man was not missing. So if he's going to continue to do that, he can stay out. He can stay out and shoot 35 footers all he wants, because I thought those were all ones where, even if, you know, Oral Roberts had a modicum of, you know, wanting to get back in that game, Dariq Whitehead shot them right back out of it. And it was very fun to see him have fun on the court. He even had a 4-point play, or at least a 4-point play in one of the halves. But like, it was so much fun to see him smile doing that, right? Like, it seems like a lot of times he's not necessarily forcing the issue, but it feels like he's just trying to be all business out there. This was a night where he was shooting J's in people's faces and having fun with it. And you can tell you can have just as much fun shooting a three in someone's face as you can dunking in them.
All right, gentlemen, I think the next segment of the podcast will be relatively short. We do have to discuss the bad. And I suppose we start with Kyle Filipowski, who was not himself. He, you know, they said during the game, that he was puking on the Duke bench. They mm-hmm. chalked it up to nerves, but in the post-game locker room, he told reporters that he'd eaten some bad food at the hotel. He said he'll be fine on Saturday. You could tell it was more than nerves with him. His moves on the floor didn't seem as decisive or athletic as usually. He is a huge usage guy for Duke. Usually usually Kyle Filipowski is taking, you know, at least 25% of Duke's possessions as a shot or something else by him. And his usage was way down. He only took 7 shots. Several of those were, you know, like dunks or putbacks, stuff where, you know, it didn't really require him to be assertively taking control of the offense. So it was not a great game from him. You said he had some nice steals and stuff, but clearly he was under the weather. If we're going to be honest, though, this was not a great game from Kyle Filipowski. Donald.
Look, I think when we talk about the fact that he was, you know, throwing up on the sideline and people chalked it up to nerves, we've seen this guy in the ACC tournament. It wasn't nerves. It was being anxious, right? Like, for him, it's not you can have that kind of reaction to bad food, or yeah, nerves can play a part in it. But it felt like he was just anxious to be out there, and he wanted everything to go right. Right. Like, and that's everybody, right? Everyone in the NCAA tournament knows it's the one shining moment that they could have. And they want everything to be perfect. And when it's not going perfectly, you kind of get anxious about it. And that's what it looked like to me. It looked like he was forcing the issue, but there's a point where the things that he normally does well without hesitation just was like a half step too slow, or a half second, just not there, half a click off. And he couldn't, he just felt like he couldn't get right by it. Now, again, he usually, when these happen, this happened during the regular season, he would have a bad game overall, right? He wouldn't be good on defense, and he wouldn't make up for it in other areas of the floor. I thought he did that last night, especially on the defensive end. But I think just on offense, I think he's going to be fine. I think now that he's gotten a taste of the NCAA tournament, we're going to see the real Kyle Filipowski on Saturday.
And like I said, I think he's still he still had a few defensive highlights yesterday, even though he wasn't scoring. But he clearly feels the pressure to score for this team, because that's been what he's been doing, you know, the entirety of the season. So let's hope that, you know, he can reflect on this game, recognize that he does not actually need to carry the load in a number of ways for Duke. And hopefully he's much more settled in for when Duke faces Tennessee tomorrow. Jason, by the way, I got nothing else on the bat. I had no notes. I thought that despite the struggles, I liked Filipowski's grit in this one, and the fact that he was thrown up at some point and then was still able to play effective defense was very impressive to me. And otherwise, like, we told you that Ryan Young wasn't going to have much of an opportunity in this game. He didn't, but that part of that, you know, I chalk all that up to Oral Roberts' style and their personnel. So nothing else from me on the bat. I this is one of Duke's most impressive performances this season.
I do want to note that Duke had their turnovers. We did a nice job of not committing a lot of turnovers, but there were a couple sloppy ones. You can count on Derek Whitehead to have at least one time where he dribbles the ball off his foot every game. I think he did that twice in this game. And it's kind of amazing that we blew a team out where I really only felt like two guys really played well on offense, Whitehead and Roach. I'm not sure anybody else had a really good offensive game. Tyrese Proctor, I thought, made some poor shot decisions. Like, I thought he took some shots. I was like, that's kind of questionable, and then he would miss it. So, and the team did lose focus for a little bit in the second half. You know, Oral Roberts had that 11-point run, and I thought, you know, Duke responded to it well, but we lost focus during that 11-point run. So, Donald, give me the last piece of bad, and then we're going to take a quick commercial break. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think for me, the assists, we only had 13 assists and 31 made baskets. That's well below our average. Like we've talked about all season, we're usually in the 60 to 70% range of assists to made baskets. And it's not that I felt like our offense was stagnant, because I thought we were doing fairly well as a team on offense. We had a couple of struggles where we couldn't get points on the board, but at least I thought we're doing a good job at you know, taking it to Oral Roberts. But I do think the best version of Duke is the one where ball is moving around, where people are making baskets off of passes, and, you know, us finding open people in the court for open jump shots and open dunks. So I think that's something where, you know, I obviously want that to go up a little bit, but I didn't think it stagnated the offense, where we had, unlike other times where we have seen the assist number down, it felt like the offense was stagnated. But I do think, you know, continuing to move the ball is the best version of Duke, and I think we'll hopefully see that against Tennessee on Saturday.
All right, that's all we got for the bad. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, our favorite plays from the destruction of Oral Roberts and what else we saw on day one of the NCAA tournament. Yes, we will be discussing Virginia. All right, we're back from the break. Guys, before we get to the rest of what happened to the NCAA tournament on day one, some truly exciting, fun stuff going on. We do have to do our favorite plays from this game. Donald, I will go to you first. What is your favorite play from Duke's victory over Oral Roberts?
I talked about it in the good, because it was on defense, and it was, I'm sorry, I don't remember all the you know, details of this play, but I do know the ending. It's the one play where it felt like all the Duke players on the floor kind of lured an Oral Roberts player, I believe it was Asmus, into driving the lane. And he was driving the lane. He was like, oh, wow, there's nobody in the paint. I guess I'm going to go up for this layup. And then all of a sudden, Derek Lively appears out of nowhere and swats the ball 35 feet. They retained the possession, Oral Roberts did, but they retained the possession at the half court line, because that's where the ball went. That's how far he swatted. It was one of those things where, and for a guy who's 7'1", for him to just kind of, you know, appear out of nowhere and just, it felt like he jumped from underneath the floor and came up and just, I mean, swatted the Timbuktu. That was fun.
I love that you have a defensive play as your play of the game. Sam, what's your favorite play?
I talked about Kyle Filipowski's defense in the first segment. I will take, I also don't remember exactly what point in the game this was, but he had a straight steal of Asmus on the perimeter where he took it, and then he ran down the court and dunked it. And maybe he was throwing up all game, but that's awesome. seven footers don't do that to speedy 6 foot guys. So a straight steal, like not like a, oh, Ace Smith was trying to do something clever. No, Filipowski was like, nope, give me that ball.
All right. So I got a few nominees for my favorite play. It's not going to make the final cut, but I did love, you guys are going to laugh, I love the pass from Jaden Shoot to Cale Catchings for a layup in the final couple minutes. I was, you like,
know, it was a good one. I like that too. Like,
Jaden Shoot, that's a really nice pass and a nice finish by Cale Catchings. I also adored every single one of the three pointers by Derek Whitehead. They were elegant. I wrote in my notes, I was like, Derek Whitehead's shot is elegant. It's not often you use that word when talking about a basketball play. And I wanted to shout out as well, Jacob Granderson. We haven't mentioned him yet on this podcast. He had some heady plays. I thought he had a pretty good game, including one play where I believe he threw the ball. It got deflected. He got it back. He put in a layup. I think that's an assist and a layup on the same play. I'm not sure if that's really possible, but
may I use this as an opportunity credit.
He did get credit for one assist. So
Maybe that was it.
May I use this as an opportunity to segue from talking about Jacob Grandison's amazing self-pass to the worst pass of yesterday that happened at the end of the Virginia game?
No. Not yet. Because I haven't given my favorite play. So I'm going to
get We're not doing Kihei Clark yet? When do we do Kihei Clark?
Give me one second. Before we do Kihei Clark, the final thing on this game is my favorite play with 1 minute left in the first half. And Oral Roberts kind of thinking, maybe, you know, we can have a little flurry here late and get back into this game. Jeremy Roach said, no. On back-to-back possessions, he did this. First, he drove the lane, completely got around his man, and he hit an absurd reverse layup that Connor Vanover was like, I'm going to block this. And Jeremy Roach is like, no, you're not. It was like one of the many great layups he had. But then on the very next possession for Duke, he, again, Roach gets around his man. He gets in the lane. Connor Vanover comes over, and Roach almost threw the ball behind his head to Derek Lively for a dunk. But those two plays back-to-back just showed how much Jeremy Roach was in complete control of everything that was happening in this game and how he was able to impact the game in multiple different ways when he drove to the basket. All right, now, gentlemen, now we can get to Kihei Clark, just one of the most boneheaded. Sam, you wanted to talk about it. One of the most boneheaded plays in college tournament history.
And look, before we give him a little grief about it, Kihei Clark's career now is over, I think, at UVA. And what an amazing career he had. He was so good for the Hoos for the last, I don't know, 14 seasons, I think he was there.
I think it's 37.
Singletary, I think, played in the backcourt together, right?
There was a great moment in the game where it was in the second half, maybe about 4 or 5 minutes left, and Kihei Clark made a nice play. And the announcer said, Kihei Clark has played or more wins than any player in ACC history or something like that. More games, more wins or something like that. And the color guy said, well, he's been there for 13 years. Like, he didn't bat an eye. He was just like, well, Kihei Clark's been with Virginia for 13 seasons now. I cracked up.
So what a career for Kihei Clark. He got a national championship. But man, the way that it goes out for him is about as brutal as you could possibly imagine. I was watching that game and I was thinking, Furman can't beat Virginia. This is not one of those upsets. Look, the Oral Roberts over Duke was a much more popular pick, I think, than Furman over Virginia. But if you haven't seen the clip yet, I don't know how that happened. Watch it if you really are in the mood for Virginia Schadenfreude, because this is about as bad as it gets. Was him throwing that ball away. It reminded me of one of my favorite horrible highlights in basketball history, which is Michael Ruffin when he was playing for the Wizards had a play sort of like this. The Wizards had the ball with like a few seconds left, and Michael Ruffin just like threw the ball like straight in the air just to waste clock, but he didn't quite behind it. And he threw it. I don't remember who caught it, but he threw it to the guy on the other team and he made a 3-pointer. And Michael Ruffin was like, oh, my God. And Gilbert Arenas was on the team and didn't shoot him immediately. So which is probably the most astounding thing about it. So that was amazing. And I don't know if you guys had more to say about UVA. It's a bummer that they lost. But as I've noted before, I hate the rest of the ACC. So I'm totally fine with this.
look, in the last four years that UVA has gone to the NCAA tournament.
Oh, this is brutal. You're going to do the stat, aren't you? Oh, this is
2018.
So brutal.
2018. We all know what happened. 5 years ago yesterday, they lost to UMBC as a one seed, as the number one overall seed. 1-16 defeats one. 2019, they won a national championship.
By the way, before you finish off, it should be noted that part of them winning the national championship was Kihei Clark making an incredible pass. Like like his career bookends. The beginning of his career on the national stage is him making that pass against Texas Tech game, I believe it was. Was it Texas Tech? Yeah, it was.
They had a crazy game against Texas Tech and a crazy game against Purdue in that in that run. But I think it was against Texas Tech when he made the play.
Yeah, exactly. And then anyway, but Donald, continue with UVA's futility. So in the NCAA
they had
tournament.
in the last four tournaments they've been in, lost in the first round to a 16 seed, won the national championship, lost in the first round. And then this year they lost in the first round. So for those of you who like to pick,
wait, you didn't do it justice. It's not just that they lost in the first round. Those three losses that you mentioned were all to seeds 13 or lower.
They had to be, because UVA has been good for the last decade, right? We've talked about this on the show, how good they've been over the last decade and how somehow they still are flying under the radar and Tony Bennett gets coach of the year nominations and votes. So, but at the end of the day, this was probably it's funny, right? Everyone's going to remember UMBC, but after that, they're probably going to remember this one because of how bad it was at the very end.
Guys, the other big upset, of course, is Princeton takes out Arizona. Just a shocking result. Wrecked my bracket. As we had our final four picks, Arizona was in my final four, just destroyed my bracket.
It's tough out there these days for two seeds. Like I remember being really devastated when Duke lost as a two seed, and it feels like it's becoming more common now. So I got to stop. Like I automatically just send the ones and twos. At least I send all the one seeds when I'm picking these games, almost automatically send the one seeds to the second weekend. And I automatically send the two seeds to the second round. I got to start thinking about this more.
Look, we were talking about this yesterday. I love that all the chaos happened before 7:10 p.m. on the East Coast, because that's when Duke started playing. After that, there was no more chaos. And I said, chaos can ensue in the tournament as long as it doesn't apply to your team. And thankfully, when Duke played, it was very easy. The late games were, blowouts. And the two, as you talk about, Duke was impressive. UCLA, Texas, and Penn State all looked impressive. Everyone else kind of had shaky outcomes. But I did also really quickly want to shout out, Howard and our friend Kenny Blakeney. They hung in there with Kansas for the first 30 minutes or so of the game before it kind of got
a little out
of hand. But they battled with them. Those jerseys that say the Mecca on them, top notch. Got to hand it to them. But they had a great season, and honestly, they should have. It sucks that their run has ended. But yo, they represented well. They represented for DC. They represented HBCUs everywhere. And Kenny is always representing the Brotherhood. So congratulations to them on a great season.
All right, that's going to wrap it up here on episode 502 of the Duke Basketball Report podcast. We're going to be back in your feed. By the way, you may see episodes back-to-back in your feed, but we're going to be back in your feed in a matter of moments to preview Duke's contest against Tennessee, a big, big game, spot in the Sweet 16 on the line. But before we get to that, we're going to go. He's Donald. He's Sam. I'm Jason. Here's the Duke band to play us out and take us home.